There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
A woman walks out from an elevator into a hallway in an apartment building. She passes a staircase where a young girl is sitting. The woman turns and looks at the girl.
Well, hello there. How are you? You're new here, aren't you? Are you just visiting? Is that it? Just visiting someone in the building?
She sits on the stair next to the girl.
You're a quiet one, aren't you? Not much to say, is that it? Well, I'm kind of an expert on children. Quiet ones, noisy ones, all kinds. I teach school.
I know. I know all about you.
You do? Well, how about a cup of nice hot chocolate?
That's the first thing I usually make when I come home from school. A cup of nice hot chocolate.
I know. But you don't like marshmallows, do you?
She turns and looks at the girl.
You're right, I don't.
I don't either.
They go in the apartment.
Here we are.
The girl sits down in an upholstered armchair.
Oh, don't you think we ought to tell your mother where you are? We wouldn't want her to be worried.
That won't be necessary.
Well, I'll just put the milk on.
I'm in no hurry.
Month of November. Hot chocolate. And a small cameo of a child's face, imperfect only in its solemnity. And these are the improbable ingredients to a human emotion. An emotion, say, like fear. But in a moment, this woman, Helen Foley, will realize fear. She will understand what are the properties of terror. A little girl will lead her by the hand and walk with her into a nightmare.
Helen carries a cup of hot chocolate over to the girl.
Here you are. Hope it isn't too rich.
The girl takes a sip.
No, it's fine. I'm glad it isn't too hot. I don't much like very hot things.
I don't blame you.
Of course you don't. You got burnt once. That scar right below your elbow. You remember?
Of course I remember.
How did it happen?
Well, actually, I don't remember.
She walks over, carrying another cup.
A lot of things I don't recall at a certain age.
Sits on the sofa across from the girl.
Something happened to me then, and I'm not sure exactly what it was. There are some things I'm rather vague about.
I know that. I know that very well. I know all about you. Don't you remember?
Yes. I remember that you said that.
Do people look familiar to you sometimes?
What do you mean?
I mean, when you pass people on the streets, or see them in a bank, or they walk by you. Do they look familiar to you?
Sometimes.
Today?
Today?
Yes, today. Did someone go by you today who looked familiar?
No.
Getting up.
Really?
Grinning.
It's not polite to contradict people. I told you that I didn't.
Did you remember?
Yes. Yes, there was someone.
Outside the school, when you were crossing the street, there was a man in a car.
There was a man in a car. He stopped for a red light. I looked at him through the windshield.
And you recognized him?
The girl nods her head.
No. No, I didn't recognize him, but... He looked so...
So familiar to you. He made you frightened, didn't he? Of course he did.
What are you talking about?
I know he looks familiar. And I know he frightens me. Just like he frightens you.
Helen approaches her.
Who are you? What's your name? Where are you from?
I live around here. And I have a nickname. People call me Marky. That's not my real name, but that's what people call me.
Helen turns away from her and sits down.
Marky, did you hear?
Yes, I heard Marky. It's a very pretty name.
Is that all you've got to say?
It's a very cute name. What more did you want me to say?
Nothing. I just thought...
Helen goes over to her handbag and takes out a handkerchief.
Feeling warm?
Yes. It is a bit warm, don't you think?
I don't think so. I think it's very comfortable.
She jumps up.
Someone's coming!
We're not the only people on the floor. There are four other apartments.
I know that, but whoever's coming is coming here. I'm going out the back door. I don't want to be here.
Look, honey, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yes, there is. Goodbye. I'll come back later.
She runs out the back door.
Yes?
Miss Foley? Miss Helen Foley?
She goes to the door.
Yes, who is it?
It's Peter Selden, Miss Foley. I don't know whether you remember me or not, but I knew your mother very well.
She opens the door to a man in a three-piece suit.
Do you remember me?
Well, you do look familiar.
Her face hardens.
Didn't I see you?
In front of the school? Yes, that's right. I was stopped for a red light. I thought you looked at me a little oddly. Do you mind if I come in for a moment?
No, please do.
It's been a lot of years, Miss Foley. 18 or 19, to be exact.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you. I've got you stumped, huh? Well, it's no wonder. You were just a little girl at the time. You couldn't have been more than 10 or 11. I used to work for your mother. Selden. Any bills yet, Peter Selden?
I do seem to recall.
I'd heard that you... Well, after the tragic thing happened, you were ill for a long time. Were you ever able to recall exactly what it was that... Well, what I mean is, Miss Foley, you drew a blank after that evening. I wonder if it ever came back to you.
Oh, only vague, disjointed things. That's all.
You were in the room when it happened.
When what happened? I suffered a kind of a shock, trauma, the doctors called it. And then after I recuperated, I moved to Chicago and I lived with an aunt. I've only been back here a year or so. I teach school now.
Yes, I heard that. Well, I was just passing through town on business and someone pointed you out to me and I wanted to stop and just say hello.
You say you worked for my mother?
Yes, I worked for almost a year.
I don't seem to recall.
I handled some of her investments for her at the time.
Selden, you say?
That's right, Selden. Well, it's wonderful to see you've grown up the way you have. Just as beautiful as you were when you were a little girl. I had quite a crush on you. I lived in the same apartment building. I heard you screaming that night. I was the first one to find her. Tragic, terrible thing, your mother being killed like that. They never found the man who did it, did they?
She holds a handkerchief to her mouth.
No, I don't think they did. Though I can't be sure. There are so many things I don't remember that happened at that time. All I remember is a kind of vague, nightmarish thing. Waking up in my bed, hearing my mother scream, and seeing this person.
This person. Did you see his face?
No, I don't really. I don't really know. I'm not sure. It's one of the things I've forgotten, or at least pushed out of my mind. Are you here for a while, Mr. Selden?
No, I was just passing through.
Yes, you said that. I forgot.
She gets up, carrying the cup.
Would you like a cup of coffee or cocoa?
No, thank you.
She looks at the hot chocolate in the cup.
What's the matter, Miss Foley?
That's odd. I thought she'd finished her cocoa, and here it is, untouched. It is odd. She's an odd little thing herself.
Who?
The little girl who was here. Strangest little thing. So solemn and wise. And it's the only way I can describe her.
Selden stands up.
Well, I guess I'd better be going.
I have to ask her how she does the trick. Sit there sipping cocoa and leave a full cup.
He steps out.
Little Marky.
He turns back.
Marky?
Well, that's her nickname. She wouldn't tell me her real name. Little Marky, that's what she calls herself.
That was your nickname, Miss Foley, when you were a little girl. They called you Marky.
She turns away from him and stares blankly. Selden comes back in the apartment.
Something wrong?
Oh, no, nothing's wrong. Except it's quite coincidental. This little thing camping on my doorstep and having the same name I did. Well, that's odd, too. Things are coming back to me. I was called Marky. I haven't thought of that in years. That's what people called me, wasn't it?
I'm sure that given time, you'll remember a lot of things. Didn't the doctors tell you that memory of things would come back?
They didn't know. Full of talents, our little Marky.
Stepping away from him.
How do you mean?
I mean her singing.
I don't hear anything. Has she stopped?
I mean that.
What?
Her singing. Can't you hear her singing?
No. I guess your ears are better than mine.
She's stopped now.
Look, there's something I want to show you.
I can't understand you not hearing her. It was so plain.
It's a snapshot your mother gave me of you when you were a little girl. See? You were an exceptionally beautiful child.
He hands it to her.
And you look so like your mother. Especially now.
She turns toward him.
So much like your mother.
I don't understand.
What, Miss Foley? What don't you understand?
In the photo, the young Helen looks exactly like the girl Marky. Later, Helen lies down on the couch, closes her eyes, and puts her hand on her forehead. In another place, silhouettes of a man and woman facing each other. The man's hands grabbing the woman's wrists. In front of them, the silhouette of a girl lying down raises her head and looks at them. The man grabs the woman by the shoulders and she slaps his face. He grabs her by the neck and he picks up an object and strikes her with it, and she falls to the floor. As he leaves, another man comes in. Helen sits up, her eyes now wide open, briefly closes her eyes, places her hands on the temples of her forehead. With a start, turns her head.
How I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle.
She stands up.
How I wonder what you are, twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Goes to the door.
How I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky.
Opens the door. On the stairs, Marky is again sitting.
Has that man left?
Helen nods her head.
He left some time ago, Marky. It's rather late, you know. It's past your bedtime. Don't you think you ought to go home? Your mother will be worried.
No, she won't be worried. I don't have a mother. Not anymore. Do you remember now? About Marky? Do you, Helen?
Helen nods.
Yes, I remember.
And the time you burnt your arm? Do you? You got a nasty burn. Right below the elbow.
Helen bends down and reaches for Marky's arm. It has the identical scar.
Who are you? What's your name? Listen, I want you to tell me who you are. I want you to tell me who you are and where you're from and what your name is. And I want you to tell me now. Do you understand? I want you to tell me who you are.
You don't know. You don't have any idea. And you were doing so well, Helen. You were starting to remember things.
Helen stands up.
Remember what things?
Marky goes back in the apartment.
Familiar.
Holding up the photograph. Helen steps over toward her.
It's supposed to be me when I was your age. But it's not me, Marky. It's a snapshot of you.
You still don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
That I'm you, Helen. Understand now? I'm you. I am you. I'm you when you were 10 years old, when you were called Marky. I'm you, Helen. I'm you when you lived with your mother in the apartment house. I'm you when you were asleep in your bed that night, and the man came into the house. And he was arguing with mother downstairs, and she tried to get away, and she ran into your room, and the man caught her, and he choked her. Helen, remember? He choked her. Then he picked up something heavy, and he hit her on the head. Then she fell. And then you screamed. And the man looked at you. The man looked at you. Then you screamed so loud, Helen. You screamed so loud.
Helen suddenly turns her head, her eyes widened, and her mouth open. Selden stands in the apartment.
I want to bring you up to date, Miss Foley. You've been living with ignorance too long.
Please.
I want to impart some information because it's obviously coming back to you anyway, and I want to be the first. I want to be the very first. That night, it was me in your bedroom. I killed your mother. There was some trouble with the books, and I was pleading with her to cover for me, but your mother, rest her soul, was a particularly rigid, straight-laced woman who was going to inform on me. When she ran into your bedroom, I had to follow her. Oddly enough, Helen, I'd have had to come after you next. But your screams brought people there, and I had to get out in a hurry. It wasn't until later that I learned that you had no recollection of who was in the bedroom. You blacked out the whole incident.
Helen gets up to rush away. Selden grabs her by the arm.
But you haven't been neglected, Helen. I've been keeping tabs on you. Chicago College here. I've been keeping tabs on you because I knew that one day the pieces would start to fit together, that you'd start to remember things.
She steps back.
That's why I came back. I had to come back, Helen, to take care of the unfinished business. You're the only person who knows how your mother died.
She runs to the door, into the hallway, tries the elevator, then the stairs where Selden blocks her. She starts toward another door and he grabs her. She pushes him down the stairs.
He tumbles to the landing,
where he lies in a heap, motionless. She puts her hands over her eyes and turns toward the wall. Later, police gather at the foot of the stairs. A detective walks up the stairs and towards Helen's door, from which another man comes out.
Is she going to be all right, Doc?
I've given her a sedative. Do you have everything you need, Lieutenant?
Yeah, I think so. It all ties in together.
She's a fortunate woman. She'd be a homicide victim if she were less fortunate.
What about that child she keeps talking about?
The child is her. At least she conjured up the child. It was a part of her buried deep inside. A memory, a recollection that finally had to come out. And when it did, it took the form of herself as a child.
Weird. Really weird.
Shaking his head.
The human imagination is often weird. Sometimes it means salvation.
The two men walk off. Later, Helen lies on the couch.
Twinkle, twinkle, sits up. Little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high.
She goes to the door, opens the door. On the stairs sits a different girl.
Hello.
Cradling a doll.
Hello, little one. You want to know something?
What?
You've got a lovely smile. Don't ever lose it.
Thank you. My dolly has a smile, too.
You both have lovely smiles.
She goes back in her apartment and smiles.
Miss Helen Foley, who has lived in night and who will wake up to morning. Miss Helen Foley, who took a dark spot from the tapestry of her life and rubbed it clean. Then stepped back a few paces and got a good look at the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Alan Ganser. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Janice Rule, Shepard Strudwick. With Terry Burnham, Michael Fox, Joe Perry. Music by Jerry Goldsmith. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, Merrill Pye. Assistant Director, Don Clune. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Keel Gleason. Sound, Frank Milton, Philip Mitchell. Titles and Opticals, Pacific Title. Copyright 1960 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio Description by Lou Lasher.